I want to say good morning. It's certainly good to see each and everyone that's come out to be with us this morning. Certainly thankful for our visitors, and we're so thankful this morning for the good piano playing, good song selection. And, I really enjoyed the last couple songs, but especially the one we sung about, "Thank You, Lord, for Your Blessings," you know. People ask, might ask all the time, you know, well, I don't know what to do in the service. You know, I know the Lord tugs my heart, but I don't really quite know what to say. Well, lots of times, sometimes it's just a simple, "Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for blessing me. Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul." You know, that shows forth the praises of God, you know, and that's what we're called to do. And if it's just a simple, "Thank you, Lord," then that's all we need to do. You know, the preacher spoke about prayer last night, and sometimes the best prayers, you know, when I say best prayer, it's not the fact that I prayed some great prayer or not, but the best times that I've really got down and met with God, it's not because I was asking Him for anything, but it was just the fact that I was there and I said, "God, thank you for everything that you've given me. Thank you for everything you've blessed me with." I think sometimes we go in our little prayer closets, I think we just need to do exactly that. "God, I'm not here asking for anything, but I just want to thank you for everything you've given me." God is worthy of all praise this morning, is He not? I believe Psalms even tells us, "Great is our God, and greatly He is to be praised." And that's what I stick to this morning, because how great He really is. "Lord, I may not have much money, but I've got you." And that's all that matters. And folks, if you're lost and separated from God this morning, and you don't have that time and place when God saved your soul, you can have all the wealth, you can have all the riches that you can have in this world, but what does it profit a man if he gains this whole world but yet loses his own soul? Profits absolutely nothing. Oh, but I'm so thankful that one day, as that 7-year-old boy, when I was kneeling there at the altar, God heard my cry and He reached down and saved my soul. How great it is to be saved by God's grace this morning, folks. So, without any further remark, I don't want to say too much, my preliminary remarks, but just thank you, Lord, for everything. I wonder if anybody has anything upon their hearts this morning, a praise, a prayer request, testimony, or whatever it is you just feel like needs to be said or done this morning.
I'd like to thank the Lord for being here a while
ago
already.
Amen.
I mean, the Spirit is here today.
Yeah.
Matter, son. You know, mom knows when their kid is troubled. And he said, "Well, mom," he said, things, I don't know, I'm just troubled. And I said, well, tell me about it, you know. And so he talked to me, you know, and I said, well, he said, well, you know, it's money. And I said, are you doing okay? He said, oh, yeah, we pay our bills. We have food on the table. And I said, so, you know, you got gas to go to work? Yeah, Mom, we're fine on all that stuff. It's just all this extra stuff my wife wants to do this summer and all the extra things that she wants done. And I said, you know, Duke, as long as you have a job, as long as you have food on your table and a roof over your head, you know, just thank God for that.
Amen.
You know, there's people over in Ukraine right now, they don't even have that. And I said, the kids doing okay, the family's okay, so yeah, we're all healthy. I said, that's all that matters. He said, I know, Mom. He said, I thank God for boys keeping his arms around us. He said that I just worry about my wife wanting things. And I said, well, we're all going to have to kind of intervene a little bit. We're all going to have to come down off our high horse just a little bit. We're not all going to get everything we want this year. You know, so if we have our needs, then we're okay.
That's right.
You know what I'm saying? I mean,
yeah.
It may not be once. Once might be put back on a burner a little bit. And we might have to cut those once a little bit. But sometimes I wonder if God don't do that to show us, you know, we're getting a little bit too high and mighty for our riches.
Yeah, Lord help.
So I just thank God for what he does give us.
Amen.
I thank God that my family's healthy. I thank God for all the little things he does for us. Each and every day, and all the big things too. If you wake up, that's a great thing.
Yes.
So I'm just thankful for being here.
Amen. Amen. Certainly thankful for this morning. You know, I think contentment is a great lesson to learn. You know, being satisfied with what God has given us. And I know, fleshly speaking, we usually want the newer things or the bigger and nicer things, and not just even that sometimes. Maybe it's just getting a little picky with the dinner table, you know. So I know sometimes Bethany, she'll spend some time after she gets off work and cook us some dinner, and when we sit down at the table and look at it, sometimes I'll think, man, I really don't want to eat that or whatnot, but then a thought comes to my heart of, you know, just be content with it. You've got food on your table. You got a roof over your head. What more could you need? What more could you need? So I think contentment's a good lesson to learn, you know. But Paul said, though, I've learned of whatsoever state I'm in to be content. Why? Because it's with Christ who strengthens me. He gives me the strength to be content. So anybody else have anything upon their hearts this morning? Yes. Amen. Amen. Certainly thankful for this. Anybody else have anything upon their hearts this morning? Anything at all. They just feel like it needs to be said or done. Amen. Yes. Amen. Certainly thankful for this. Honestly think that's something we do take for granted ourselves, being able to come to the house of God. Certainly thankful for this. Anybody else have anything upon their heart?
Sit and think about what God deserves, and one day he'll get it in heaven when and just this absolute silence of all the angels dropping and all of us dropping before the throne, and he gets all the glory that is due him.
Amen.
You know, and when we can see what he actually went through on the cross. You know, I sit sometimes and wonder, even in America, and going over what we need, and the reality is God has accomplished everything that we'll ever need is already done. It's in him, it is through him, and I can't wait to the day that we can sing that song. He is worthy of it all.
Amen. Amen. Certainly thankful for this. Anybody else have anything upon their hearts this morning? Anything at all? They just feel like it needs to be said or done. If not, then we'll go to the Lord in a word of prayer at this time. Let us be mindful of the service this morning, that God would just be able to have free course among us. And let's be prayerful for the service and be prayerful for one another. But above all, let's be prayerful for those who are lost and undone. It is certainly good to see Brother Danny Edwards back with us this morning. And we've certainly missed him the last couple of weeks. And so if he doesn't mind, I'm going to ask him to lead our hearts in a word of prayer this morning. All right. Let's certainly remember this request. Anybody else have anything on their hearts? Any other unspoken requests upon anybody's hearts this morning? All right, let us go to the Lord in a word of prayer. Brother Danny, I wonder if anybody has anything on their hearts this morning. You've got a message this morning? Okay. Okay. What do you have on? You got something?
Yeah.
Okay, well.
Oh man.
You never know what a Baptist preacher's gonna do, I'll just say that. We're good about trying to put things off on other people all the time. But truth is that when we think about what the Bible teaches us, when Paul talks to Timothy over there and he tells Timothy to be instant in season and out, what he means is to be ready to preach at all times. To be ready to give a account for the hope that's within you is what he tells us. And many times we forget about that. And as preachers, we want to give things over to someone else. And I'm not going to say that I don't. We all try to from time to time. Growing up where I did and things of that nature in the area that I grew up, and I'm sure it happened around here too, it was nothing for the older preachers to say unto the younger ones, hey, you're here today, so guess who's getting to preach this morning? And I used to do that as well, and still from time to time, and it's good to keep them on their toes. However, I always feel that whoever it is that the Lord is leaning upon and has that message is the one that needs to bring it. But even at that, we lean upon God for whatever needs to be done, because we can't do anything without the help of the Lord. But even in times when sometimes we think we don't have anything, just to open up our Bibles and to ask God to help us is the main thing. Even if it's just reading the Word. And that's what I like about my Lord and Savior. You never know what it takes to touch someone's heart. But I've got a scripture upon my heart this morning in several different places this morning. As you all know, I'm one of these that, as the Lord, He shows me, we can kind of bounce back and forth to try to prove, to show you a point. Things of that nature. But I want to go over this morning into the 12th chapter of the book of Romans. And we know, as it's already been said, that the will of God is that none should perish, but all shall come unto repentance. But many times in the scriptures you'll find that there is spoken about what the will of God is. And we're going to find it this morning as well. In the 12th chapter of the book of Romans, and Paul doing the writing to the church at Rome there, we find, he says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we being many are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. We won't stop there with our reading a lesson in the fifth verse, and with the mistakes we may have made in our reading this morning, that is reading the first five verses of the 12th chapter of the book of Romans. Now, as we said a while ago, that you find in many areas of the Bible what the true will of God is, but I want you to understand today what the will of God is for his children. And I want you to see today what Paul is saying unto them, my friends, there, as he tells them that we are to be transformed into the things that God wants us to be, and not of the things of this world. He said it is our acceptable and reasonable service and the will of God that we transform our minds, our hearts, and our souls. Now listen, let's go back over for just a second. He says, in the first verse there, he said that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Now he says unto us, he said, now don't think that you need to go out here and be like the world, but you need to be as God would have you to be. You need to be more of what God intends in your life, that God can be seen through you, that people everywhere can see the love of God in his children. And friends, I want you to understand that, and it seems like that may be a common theme for just a little bit anymore, but the fact of the matter is the lost need salvation, and in order for them to find God, they need to see the fact of God's children understanding their place in the church and understanding the Father's will in their lives, that they might be able to see God through his children. Amen. They need to be able to see God working in the church, don't they? Yes, they do. And when I say working in the church, I don't mean inside the four walls, and I don't mean the building. And I mean, don't get me wrong, I've seen some very beautiful buildings out there. I've seen, and this being one of them, I've seen some nice buildings, some small ones, some large ones, things of this nature. But it's not the building, my friends, that makes up the church. What makes up the church is those that have been saved through and by the grace of God and have been baptized into the church of the true and living God. Now I want you to understand something today as well. People today, we believe that in all things that we must follow the Spirit of the Lord, and I truly believe that's so. I believe that the Spirit has to have its place in all things, but I also want you to understand that we need to follow the commandments of God as well. And we find today that there are those that are out there that have been saved, or say that they've been saved through and by the grace of God, and that they've never united with the church of the true and living God for one reason or another in their own lives, or they don't feel like God's not led them somewhere. But let me tell you something, friends. That is the very first commandment after salvation, is that you unite with the church and be baptized, and you need to be finding that place. Damn. You need to be finding that place. That's part of not being conformed to the world. Amen. It really is. You see, we was talking about it a little while last night. Brother Patterson, it was so nice to see Brother Paul Patterson here last night, and some of those from Happy Hollow and all that came up. It's nice to see everybody that's come. But Brother Patterson and I got talking about it last night, and I was telling him about how that I enjoy seeing his sermons on Facebook Live and some of the other preachers as well and things of this nature. And I said, I kind of like to follow some certain preachers here and there, especially the younger preachers, because they need to know that we're backing them, and they need to know that we're hearing what they're saying. And I told him, I said, I kind of like to listen to you from time to time. And he said, that's been a blessing. And I understand that it's been a blessing to have Facebook Live and to be able to put the things out there for this world to see. And all it's a blessing unto those that are lost, I'm going to tell you. And it has been a blessing unto the churches during this time when we were told that we couldn't assemble or people wouldn't assemble and things of this nature. But I want to tell you something else, my friends. As I stated last night to him, it is also a curse. You know why it's a curse? Because people today are using that to stay at home instead of coming and assembling themselves together the way that God intends for them to do. Now, I understand that everybody has their own opinion about things, and I understand that we have to live according to what we truly believe and things of this nature. But why won't you to understand something, my friends, that God's will is always going to be, and God's will is going to be done no matter what. You're saying, now, Brother Barber, that means if I get sick, then that was God's will. Let me tell you something, friends. We don't know everything God has in store for us. Some of them tell me all the time, well, Brother Barber, they tell me that I've got enough common sense that if I don't want to do this, I don't have to do it. And I'll say, yeah, you're right, you do. But the truth is, you ought to have more common sense and more thought about what God wants than what yourself. That's just true. Why is that? Because the lost, again, as we said a while ago, need salvation. I had one tell me here not too long ago. I have a lot of people tell me this and have throughout the years that I've been trying to stand for the Lord. I have a lot of people tell me I can serve God just as good at home as I can inside the church. You can't serve God as good at home as you can inside the church. I'm just here to tell you that. Why is that? Because the fellowship that we get one with another, or the brotherly love that is between the church members of the church, my friends, is what we need on a daily basis to help get us through. The Spirit of the Lord that meets with us at church, my friends, it can meet with us at home, but yet at the same time, most of the time, people don't put God first at home. Instead, they may be up doing chores, or they may be doing other things, or not even paying attention to what's going on, but saying that they have the preaching on, that they might be able to show somebody that they try to do as they could. But truth is, God knows where the heart is. And he knows whether you're paying attention or not. And he also knows that if you're sitting at home, the one thing that you cannot do is witness unto those that are lost. Yeah. Do you know that? Now let's think about that for just a moment. If you're sitting at home and it's just you and your family, it's just you or whoever, and as far as you know, everybody there has been saved. Or as far as you know, there's nobody else in your home. Or however you want to say it. Where is your witness? Where is it? You see, we need to be able to come out and to assemble ourselves together that we can be witnesses to one another and to God. That's what it takes today. Now, we talked about prayer a little while last night as the Lord allowed us to, but I want you to understand something else. We can pray, and I know we can pray and pray on behalf of others and expect great things of God, but we also need to pray that God fill us with that Spirit. Do you know we don't always ask God to do that? Did you know that? Why do we need that? Well, we find on over in the book of Mark, if you'll go with us for just a second over there. We want to turn over to the long about the ninth chapter of the book of Mark. Bear with us as we get over there. Didn't know we was going to use these scriptures this morning. We find over in that ninth chapter of the book of Mark, if you'll go down to the 49th verse and Jesus doing the speaking there, it says, "For everyone shall be salted with fire, and every sacrifice shall be salted with salt. Salt is good, but if the salt has lost its saltness, wherewith will you season it? Have salt in yourselves and have peace one with the other." Now what he's talking about there, my friends, is if you think about salt, let's look at it for just a second as a preservative. Salt has been used for over the years many a time to preserve meat and different things of this nature, that it might not rot, that it might not spoil. That it might be able to be used later on and things of this nature. But what he's talking about here in the spiritual sense is the saltness of God's children and the inner man and the things that we know that we are supposed to do and to be able to carry that gospel out the way that we're supposed to, because we're supposed to give a hope. We're supposed to give an answer for the hope that's within us to everyone that asks us about. And we can't do that if our salt's lost its savor. Did you know that? Do you know how hard it is to tell somebody what God's done for us sometimes when we've not been in church? You're saying, "No, Brother Anthony, that's not..." Yes, it is. Stop and think about it. Do you know how hard it is to actually give an answer to things when you know that you wasn't where you were supposed to be? What is an excuse? Nothing more than a story. And what is a story? Nothing more than a falsehood. And what's a falsehood? Nothing more than a lie. You say, "Now that's not always so." Well, let's look at it for just a second. Do we always do the things that we say we've done? Not always. Maybe some of us do, maybe some of us don't. Do we always tell people exactly what happened, why we didn't do this or why we did do that? Not always. We kind of leave a few details out here and there. Does it look like a lie to us at any given point? No. Why? I've heard people tell me, "Well, they didn't need to know everything that I was actually doing." Well, truth is, if you didn't tell them what you was actually doing and you was talking to them, then you were lying to them by not telling them the whole thing. Let's just be honest. But if you're lying to them, who else are you lying to? You're lying to yourself. And if you're lying to yourself, then who are you lying to above that? You're lying to God. Because God knew what was going on the entire time, did he not? He did. He knew whether you were there to serve after him. He knew whether you were staying at home just because you wanted to stay at home. He knew what was going on. He knew whether you were going to talk to somebody. He knew whether or not you were going to pray. He knew what was going to happen. Did you know that most of the time when people today are sitting at home, very few of them even pray? You'll find as we talk about prayer again, and I don't know why this keeps coming up to me, you'll find that the majority of the time of God's children, the most that we pray sometimes is when we're inside the house of God. No, nobody got to hold up a hand, ain't nobody got to nod the head or anything else. You know I'm telling the truth. But we do it too, let's be honest. Is this what God's will is for man? No, it's not. What did he say over there in the 12th chapter? What did Paul tell him? Paul said that it was the will of God, the acceptable will of God, that we be transformed instead of conformed to the things of this world. By the renewing of our heart and our mind. In other words, we need to put away the old way and we
have a truth to it. You can't. Now I'm just going to be flat out honest with you. I'm one of these people that don't ask me why it is. I've never understood it myself, but people laugh at me, but I don't like salt at all. Funny that you, the Lord has you talk about it sometimes, right? I don't like salt at all. If somebody's invited me over to feed me or things of this nature, I don't question them as to whether they put salt in the food. I'll just go ahead and eat it and things of that nature. But if I'm cooking for myself or cooking for other people, you ain't going to find salt in what I do. I don't like it. Don't know why I don't like the taste of it. But what I like is what it shows. And what God shows us with the salt is that it's a preservative. And what he means by that is as we carry on the traditions and we carry on the things of God and the Word of God, it is savory unto God to hear the truth come from His children. It's savory unto God to hear those words come out of our mouth, to hear those words come from our hearts, to hear those words go through our minds, the things that God has done and the things that we need this world to see and the things that God intends for the world to see through us. My friends, these things are good and they're tasty and they're savory unto God. And they should be savory unto others as well. Do we really truly understand that our actions carry consequences? Do we? And I'm not talking about the actions of the body. I'm talking about the actions of the mind, the actions of the body, and the actions of the heart. Do we truly understand that they carry consequences? We need to. Paul tried to tell us, and just to paraphrase, did Paul not try to tell us that there was always going to be a warfare between the inward man and the outward man? Yes, he did. He told us that there's a warfare that goes on between the inward man and the outward man, that the outward man does the things that it ought not to do, but the inward man does the things that it want to do of God, or ought to do of God. And this is just a paraphrase. And I want you to understand that, my friends. And the reason I want you to understand that is because there's a turmoil in those that are lost. It was said this morning that there was a young man that was trying to hide his tears last night, that he tried to hide the condemnation that was coming upon him last night. My friend, there was a warfare between his soul and his body, my friends. There was a spiritual warfare going on. His soul wanted to cry out to God, but the body was holding back. My friends, I want you to understand something today. We as God's children do the exact same thing because we do the things that we know we're supposed to, not supposed to do, but the soul wants to do the things of God. So he tells us to transform ourselves. Not to be conformed, but to transform ourselves. Well, we talk about consequences, don't we? Well, we're talking about that for just a moment. Our actions have consequences. Our words have consequences. Everything that we do has consequences. I sat and I wondered. I didn't see the young man last night, but then I sat and I wondered after it was stated, and I just about cried back there during Sunday school. I thought, Lord, why didn't you let somebody know? Let me know. Was I not where I was supposed to be? Could I have done anything to save him? No. Could I have talked to him if the Lord had led me? Yes. We notice actions sometimes, but we don't always work with them, do we? Is there anything wrong with asking God that when somebody presents themselves and it seems that there's a trouble stirred up with inside of them, is there anything wrong with us asking God to give us something to do that we might be able to work for you? There's nothing wrong with it. But do we do it? A sainted old sister that used to belong, she's passed and gone now. Used to belong to a church that I pastored a few years back. She said, all my life, I only wanted to do one thing, and that was to do whatever God had asked of me to do. And she said, I've tried the best that I could. She said, Brother Anthony, she said, I know that I failed. She said, but what I've noticed is that in my failures, God let somebody else do what I was supposed to have done. And I looked at her and I said, Sister Minnie Mae, I said, how do you know that he let somebody else do what you were supposed to have done? She said, well, when I decided that I couldn't do it, I'd say, Lord, let somebody else do it. Is that what we're supposed to do? Saw this morning as we were just joking around here this morning about, do you have a burden to preach? Do you have something on your heart? Do we back and forth about that? It's all right. We think about these things sometimes, but the fact of the matter is, if God asks us to do something, we are to do it without question. Instead of asking God to put it off on somebody else, when we ask God to put it off on somebody else, what does that show? It shows our disrespect for God, but it also shows our disrespect for the blessings that God can give and bestow upon his children. It also shows that we're not where we need to be with the Lord. I've been told many a time that I'm a little bit of a controversial preacher sometimes. I've often wondered myself and asked God many a time when years ago it seemed like all I could ever do was preach to the lost. And then after a few years, it seemed like all I could ever do was preach to the church. People tell me sometimes, Brother Anthony, you're just too hard on us. I want you to understand that I'm no harder on you than I am on myself. And don't mean to be hard on you whatsoever or anyone of the church. Because the messages that the Lord gives us is just as much for the preacher as it is for anybody else. Damn. Now that's true. But what I want you to understand about that is we all need to know our place in God's house. And we all need to know our place in this life and what God intends for us to do. Sister Roberta over here singing this morning during the song she started singing, Thank You, Lord, for Your Blessings on Me. She just got happy over there. You know why that is? Because she was willing to tell God thank you. I believe it was Brother Michael that said, we need to sometimes tell God thank you for every little thing. And we do. And we forget that. And God blesses us in so many ways. She just about got happy over there because the Spirit was moving. Well, friends, I want you to understand, just because the Spirit was moving over there don't mean that God didn't have it to be moving throughout the rest of the house. The question was, were you ready for it to move? And you worked for it. That's the question. Were we ready for it to move? We many times say that we long for the days of old when we come into the church house and they were already praying before they ever heard the church steps. They were happy before they ever got inside the doors. We long for those days. My friends, I want you to understand something. We don't have to long for those days. We can have those days if we will just ask God to use us. Amen. And be willing to let Him use us. We can have those days. It's not that they had a patent on it. It's not that they were the only ones that could be blessed. God wants to bless. He just wants us to be willing to ask for it and to work for it. We have a lot of things goes on in our lives. I have people tell me all the time, Brother, you don't understand. My work gets to me. It's stressful. Or I'm always having to work sometimes 40, 50, 60 hours a week. Don't think that ain't nobody else doing the same thing. I'm here to tell you, friends, there's ways to family by worldly standards. You don't believe me? Ask sometime. Now, I'm not trying to boast or brag. I don't believe in boasting and bragging. But I want to tell you, there was a time in my life, and as a younger pastor, a younger preacher, the very first church that I pastored, I worked for a company that believed that everybody should be there every single time that the doors was open of that company. And they made us work 7 days a week. But that was the job that God had given and placed me in. And I truly believe that I was there for a reason. My friends, I want you to understand this, because I was able to talk to many people. When my oldest daughter got saved, I went that night to the church house. As I told you once before, I went that night to the church house. I couldn't do anything for her. My heart fell on my feet. I don't even know where she was in the church house. All I could do is say, God, if I'm standing in the way, take me out. I don't know what to do. She's yours. The truth is, that night at Hilltop, I don't remember nothing about it. I have to listen to her testimony. You know why that is? That happened somewhere along about Friday or Saturday night. Monday morning, I come to myself, all 30 foot up in the air on a cherry picker, shouting the praises of God. And that's when I remembered what was going on. You know why that is? Because there was purpose. There was a lady that was there that I worked with that was of the belief that there was only going to be 100, that they had to witness to people door to door all the time, and there was only going to be 144,000 chosen people in the church, in heaven, my friends. And she had come to me that day, and she said, Brother Anthony, she said, I don't know what it is that's going on with you. She said, but I've got to ask you something. I said, what's that? She said, can you pray for me? And I said, I sure can. I said, but you need to pray for yourself. Out in that BSL, they call it, or a bulk storage location, whatever you want to call it, out in that warehouse. We brought those cherry pickers 30 foot down to the floor. We got down and we started praying. Three weeks later, she comes to me and she says, Anthony, she says, I've got to tell you something. I said, what's that? She said, do you remember me asking you to pray out here in the warehouse not too long ago? I said, I did. She said, I don't know what was going on with you. She said, but when you got to shouting, she said, I knew something that. She said, but I got to tell you something. But I'm Laura. She said, Anthony. She said, I joined the Missionary Baptist Church this past week because God saved my soul. You see, praise. We have to get ourselves out of the way. Now, what would that have to do with anything? Let me tell you something, friend. As I said, we worked 7 days a week. I pastored a church. And God, I got down and I begged God many a time, how am I going to do this? What do I do? God, if it be thy will, show me what I'm supposed to do. I went in just like anybody else, and I worked 8 and 10 hours a day. And then on Friday night, I would go back in and work Saturday and Saturday night, always Sunday morning, and I would go from there to church, and I would do what God intended at the church house. And I would do that until the Lord showed me one day. He said, it's all going to be taken care of. One day, an HR person come to me, and she said, Anthony, she said, her name was Shakita. She said, Anthony, she said, it's come to my attention that we've done you wrong. 3 years into this job. I said, what do you mean? She said, it's come to my attention that you've been out here working and go home some days and only have 6 hours sleep and come back in and finish out so that you get your time in. She said, we wasn't supposed to do it that way. She said, you have a religious exemption. She said, and you need to be there. 3 years it went that way. 3 years I complained only to God. But only when I complained, I said, God, if it's what you want, then let it be. You know why it was? Because I knew that's where I was supposed to be. I didn't have a choice in the matter. I had to feed my family. I had children growing up. I had children that needed
God. I had a church that I was to watch over. Now, I'm not telling you this. I don't want anybody to think highly of me whatsoever. I'm the least that God has ever called out. But what I want you to see in what God has done in my life, He can do in your life and probably already has done in many of your lives as well. And you know why that is? It's because when you get to that point that you're truly willing to serve God, He is truly willing to bless whatever it may take. And as I said a while ago, they didn't have a pattern on being able to be spiritual coming into the house of God years ago. They can then be spiritual today if they want to be. Oh, life is hard. Work all the time. Go home. I got to take care of the farm. Got to help my wife with different things. The house needing work on. Things of this. It seemed like I don't ever get a chance to do anything. And he said, then on Sunday, I try to come to church. He said, I just wore out. I laughed at him and I said, you know what? I said, you think they weren't wore out the days that we talk about a lot? I said, they may not have been at public work. I said, but it's a lot of work to get up in the morning to run a farm. It's a lot of work to get up in the morning to take care of the cattle. It's a lot of work to get up in the morning to make sure that everything on the farm is taken care of, that the barns aren't falling down, that the hay is in, that the tobacco is taken care of, that the fields are turned and ready for gardening and things of this nature. I said, it's a lot of work that we don't really think about. And I said, they had it harder than we did. Than we did. He says, I don't understand how you think that they had it harder than we. I said, I'll tell you how they had it harder. Because most of the time, they didn't have the things that we have that are conveniences to us today. They didn't have these restaurants. I don't remember growing up and didn't have a restaurant on every street. Maybe we'll go get supper or breakfast and not to have to cook for yourself. Now you can walk out the door and tell somebody you want something to eat and you ain't got to worry about it. They didn't have bathrooms inside the church houses back then. I still have several that I visit around and preach at where we still have old eye houses. I like that. And so people say, well, you're crazy. No, I'm not crazy. It just kind of makes the church have to stay together a little bit closer. Because I can remember how it is when the when I was lost, and knew that I was lost, and I told you I was lost at the age of 11, at the age of 13, when I finally got right with God and found out that if I didn't start making things right instead of playing church, instead of playing with God, that He was going to let me just die and go to hell. At the age of 13, I finally figured out that God meant what He said. But I can remember slipping off to the bathroom. I can remember thinking, well, you know what? There's a sister, Vida Wilson. She sees me. She knows something about me. I'm going to the restroom. And I'll just slip right out the front door and go out there and sit on the steps. She won't ever know anything about it. Sometimes our conveniences become nothing but a hindrance. Did you know that? I'm not saying get away with your bathroom and things of this nature. I'm saying, friends, they didn't have all of this back then. They didn't have all of these things. Well, I remember many times my great-grandmother and my grandmother would talk to me about getting up and going to church, getting ready to go to church, and how they would have to go down, and they would have to feed the cows, and they would have to milk the cows before that they could get up and go. They'd have to fix breakfast for their siblings and things before that they could get ready for church. And then when they got ready for church, they either had to walk or they went down and hooked up the wagon to the mule and took the wagon. And if it happened to be one of the days that they took the wagon, then they went as they went. They went a little bit earlier because they stopped and picked up the neighbors on the way. And even when they walked, many times the neighbors would walk with them. We think of something to get in the car, turn the key, start it up, take off and go. We take it for granted, don't we? Yeah, we didn't. And we hold to what we have and we say that it's harder for us. It's not harder for us. What's harder is that sin has gotten more prevalent. That's what's harder. Sin has gotten more prevalent in our lives. Because we want what we want, and we want to do what the body finds pleasure in.
Yeah.
That's not what we're supposed to do. We need to want what God wants and want to do what the soul knows is right.
Amen.
By the word of God.
Amen.
That's what we're supposed to do. And when we get to that point and we get to where we can do that, we'll see God moving. We'll see these days come again where they're shouting all over the house, and we'll see the lost being convicted of their sins, and we'll see God working on both sides, and we'll see the lost bowing down somewhere and making an altar unto God, and we'll see God's children working. Today, one of the biggest things that we don't see in our churches anymore is that when somebody makes an altar inside the house of the of God and starts praying, is everybody else scatters. You know why they scatter? Because we're afraid that somebody find out that we're just as bad off as they are. The only difference is we're saved, they're not. Don't like it, do we? We don't like to be reproved of our sins, do we? Truth is, God's going to reprove us of them, whether the world sees them or not. He is. He's going to reprove us of them whether the world sees it or not. And friends, I hope you understand today that I'm not here to be hard upon you or anything of this nature. I'm just here to do what God intends. If God wants me to preach a sermon that some people call to the lost or whatever, or God wants me to preach a sermon that, some people call to the church, whatever, it doesn't matter as long as God is in the matter. That's all that matters. I had a friend one time tell me, his brother asked me, Pee Wee Carter was his name. I don't know if any of you ever heard him preach or not. He's a wonderful man, little man. He's gone on to be with the Lord. He's reaping the rewards of salvation today. I was pastoring church 65 miles from the house in a little town called Livingston, Tennessee. Pee Wee Carter come out there, and he'd come many a time, and he looked at me one day, and he said, Brother Anthony, he says, you know, he says, I pray for you. And I said, what's that for? And this is the first time I ever realized anything was going on. I said, what are you praying for me for? I said, I appreciate it. Don't get me wrong. I said, I appreciate it. I said, but is there something I've done? He said, no. He said, it just must be bad to live in a county where they don't want you and to have to travel where they want to hear. And I looked at him, I said, what do you mean by that? And he said, well, you don't know? And I said, know what? He said, that's all I got to tell you. Later on, he and I got together, and we started talking, and he got to telling me things, and I want you to understand something. The Bible said a prophet have no honor save in his own country. Do you know that? Boy, when you try to stand for God and you try to do what God truly intends, people will turn their back on you in a heartbeat. They will. And if they can't drag something up out of your past to make you look embarrassed or make you look bad before others, they'll fabricate it. But you see, you don't have to answer to them. You have to answer to God. That's who you have to answer to. So when the Bible tells us to be about the Father's business, that's exactly what it means. It don't mean set at home. It don't mean to try to convince everybody that you can serve God just as well sitting in front of the computer or in front of the TV watching sermons on there as you can inside the church house. It don't mean for you to try to tell people that I can serve God wherever I'm at and I don't have to go to the church house, or I can pay my tithe and it'll be all right, and this, that, and the other. What it means is that we are to be about what God wants us to do at every moment with every breath. Paul said, be transformed by the renewing of your mind and your heart. He says, be transformed by the renewing. In other words, don't be like them. Let them see God. Let them see God. When we get to that point, trust me, God opened doors that we never knew were closed. God opened doors we didn't know that we could open. And anybody. He'll take care of it all. Just serve the Lord in all things. And what did Paul say? He said, this is the accepted and perfect will of God. That we not be like this world, but that we be like the children of God.
I know y'all probably wonder what I say to Micah over here sometimes and things of this nature, but truth is, and I'll just go ahead and tell you, I've always lived by this rule because I was taught when I was younger as a younger preacher, and one of my older preachers told me, he said, Brother Anthony, he said, the best thing that I can tell you, he said, besides study and pray, he said, the best thing I can tell you, he said, when you get up, he said, stand up, speak up, and when you're done, sit down and shut up. He said, that's the best thing I can tell you. That's the best advice I've ever gotten in my life. So usually when I get to this point and I say there's nothing else on my heart, I mean it. I turn it all over. Back to the church, back over to Brother Micah. Can I drink this one?
Sister Rachel, if you don't mind, get us a song. And-